Please turn in your Bible to Matthew, the third chapter. I'll begin with verse 13. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, please help us to hear your special word for us today. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. To our big day, fathers. This is it. 24 hours of it's all about us. One day out of the year. Peggy Alsdorf from our church staff sent me a video this week, and it just reminded me of when all my girls were little and the joy of that. And also was sobering because it reminded me of how kids take in everything that we're doing and that we're saying, and they're parroting it and they're mirroring it, and it makes a person want to pause and think, what am I putting out there that they're taking in? This kid in this video, he doesn't know any English. He's too young, but man, he is fully engaged in a conversation with his dad. Would you give your attention to the screen?
Okay. They need to work on that, right? Yes. Okay. Did you understand it, though?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Huh? Oh, no. Not this one. This is the grand finale of this.
Okay, the last one?
Yeah, that's the last one. That's what I was wondering. I don't know what they're going to do next season because they did some stuff this time. Exactly what I was thinking. Oh, yeah. Right, don't bring that again. You know what I'm saying? Don't do the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was like that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, go somewhere else with that, but don't bring it here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I said. And then it was like, ah, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, what in the world? But don't do that here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Really? I thought the same thing. We think a lot alike, huh?
Come back.
Oh, that's crazy. Right.
Right? That brought back such good memories. So Father's Day is that day of the year where we pause for a moment. We're supposed to honor dads, but for dads, it's our moment to pause and think, how am I doing here? And if I am not doing that great, it's a time to maybe make some amends and recovenant with God about the most important job that we'll ever have in our life, and that's being a dad. We're in a new sermon series. It's called Playlist, and we're looking at secular music, and we're applying it, looking, combing it for gospel messages to us. Truth is truth, and how we can be better dads. Today, we're going to be looking at a Will Smith remake of a song called Just the Two of Us. You probably remember the original one. It's about couples' love. he wanted to write a song about his eldest son. He had in a previous marriage, and this was filmed in 1987, so his son was 5 at the time, and actually in the video, I want you to notice right at the very end, the son and what he has to say to his dad. But I'm going to read, and this is going to be, I just am confident of this, the worst rapping that you've ever heard in your life as I'm reading the lyrics to you so you know what's going on up there, okay? So brace yourself. So verse 1, he said, "From the first time the doctor placed you in my arms, I knew I'd meet death before I let you meet harm. Although questions arose in my mind, would I be man enough against wrong, choose right, or be standing up? From the hospital that first night took an hour just to get the car seat right. People driving all fast got me kind of upset. Got you home safe, placed you in your bassinet. That night, I don't think one wink I slept. As I slipped out of my bed to your crib, I crept, touched your head gently, felt my heart melt. Because I know I loved you more than life itself. Then to my knees I begged the Lord, please, let me be a good daddy. All he needs, love, knowledge, discipline too. I pledge my life to you. 5 years old, bringing comedy. Every time I look at you, I think, man, a little me. Just like me, wait and see, gonna be tall. Makes me laugh because you got your dad's ears and all. Sometimes I wonder, what are you going to be, a general, a doctor, maybe an MC? Ha ha, I want to kiss you all the time. But I will test that butt when you cut out a line. True that, why you do that? I try to be a tough dad, but you just keep making me laugh. Crazy joy when I see the eyes of my baby boy. I pledge to you, I always do everything I can, show you how to be a man. Dignity, integrity, honor. I don't care if you lose, long as you came with it. And you can cry, ain't no shame in it. It didn't work out with me and your mom, but you old push come to shove, you were conceived in love. So if the world attacks and you slide off track, remember one fact, I've got your back. It's a full-time job just being a good dad. You got so much more stuff than I had. I got to study just to keep with the change in times, 101 Dalmatians on your CD-ROM. See me, I'm trying to pretend that I know on my PC. Where's that CD go? But yo, ain't nothing promised. One day I'll be gone, feeling the strife. But trust, life goes on. But just in case, it's my place to impart. One day some girl's gonna break your heart. And ooh, ain't no pain like from the opposite sex. Gonna hurt bad, but don't take it out on the next, son. Throughout life, people will make you mad, disrespect you, treat you bad. Let God deal with the things they do, because hate in your heart will consume you too. Always tell the truth, say your prayers, hold doors, pull out chairs, easy on the swears. You're living proof that dreams do come true. I love you. And I'm here for you. Would you give your attention to the screen?
Time the doctor placed you in my arms. I knew I'd meet death before I let you meet harm. Although questions arose in my mind, would I be man enough against wrong, choose right, and be standing up? From the hospital that first night, took an hour just to get the car seat in right. People driving off fast got me kind of upset. Got you home safe, placed you in your bassinet. That night, I don't think one wink I slept as I slipped out my bed to your crib. I crept, touched your head gently, felt my heart melt, cause I knew I loved you more than life itself. Into my knees, and I beg the Lord, please, let me be a good daddy. All he needs, love, knowledge, discipline too. I pledge my life to you.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you.
Just the two of us, just the two of us, building castles in the sky.
I look at you, I think, man, a little me just like me. Wait and see, gonna be tall, makes me laugh, cause you got your dad's ears and all. Sometimes I wonder what you gonna be, a general, a doctor, maybe an MC. I wanna kiss you all the time, but I will test that butt when you cut out a line. True that, why you do that? I try to be a tough dad, but you be making me laugh. Crazy joy when I see the eyes of my baby boy. I pledge to you, I will always do everything I can, show you how to be a man. Dignity, integrity, honor, and I don't mind if you lose, long as you came with it. And you can cry, ain't no shame in it. It didn't work out with me and your mom, but yo, push come to shove, you was conceived in love. So if the world attacks and you slide off track, remember one fact, I got your back.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you, against the world. Time job to be a good dad. You got so much more stuff than I had. I gotta study just to keep with the changing times. 101 Dalmatians on your CD-ROM. See me, I'm trying to pretend I know on my PC where that CD go. But yo, ain't nothing promised. One day I'll be gone. Feel the strife, but trust life does go on. But just in case, it's my place to impart. One day some girl's gonna break your heart. And ooh, ain't no pain like from the opposite sex. Gonna hurt bad, but don't take it out on the next. Son, throughout life people will make you mad, disrespect you and treat you bad. Let God deal with the things they do, cause hate in your heart will consume you too. Always tell the truth, say your prayers, hold doors, pull out chairs, easy on the swears. You're living proof that dreams come true. I love you and I'm here for you.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you. True that, true that.
Just the two of us.
Daddy loves you, daddy loves you. Woo!
Just the two of us. You and I.
For the rest of your life.
The two of us.
That's a really good song. How much am I getting paid for this, Dad?
So dads, our job is a short one. Our job is to help our kids, families navigate the world and move at a pace that helps them understand the things that they're trying to figure out in life. But the challenge is, how do you do that well? And when you look at the Bible, there isn't any chapter on, you know, fatherhood. It's not a manual on parenting. It's a book about how to have a relationship with God and how to find salvation and live a righteous life. There are some parables in the Proverbs about fatherhood, but I'm going in a different direction. There's in Matthew, the third chapter, this one of the very few scenes where you see all three parts of the Trinity together. And it's when Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He goes to where John the Baptist is baptizing people who are repenting because the kingdom of God is coming. And Jesus says to his cousin, John, would baptize me. And John says, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, God's doing something here, and this is part of the plan. You need to baptize me. So John acquiesces, and he baptizes Jesus. And in that moment, God speaks from heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove onto Jesus. And it's those words that God speaks from the throne that I want to focus on, verse 16 and 17. Starts out verse 16. This Jesus, the first thing I want you to notice isn't even the words, it's the fact that God's there to say something. God's present. Good fathers are present. Remember when I first went to a parenting class for dads, Dad the Family Shepherd or something like that, and they said, your kids will always spell love, T-I-M-E. And that just stuck with me. It's not that I think most dads don't want to spend time with their kids. I think for many dads, it's that there's so many things pulling us in so many directions in order to provide for that family, that when you say yes to this, you just said no to three other things. And it's so frustrating. It's perpetually frustrating. But being present is a big part of what it means to be a good dad, as much as we can. And when we're physically present, we want to be mentally present, tuned in to what's taking place. Sometimes I look back and I feel like I'm guilty that even though I'm physically present, I'm someplace else mentally trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with this problem or that person or whatever it is that I'm dealing with in my life. So learn from my own bad experience and try to be just present. Let it go. Because I think Christ was formed by his Father's presence in his life. The Jesus that we love was a Jesus that was formed by God's presence in his life. And he took courage from the fact that his Father was there. For those of us who have left, our fathers have died, that's one of the things that you miss is just the presence. Being able to reach out and talk to your dad. And so while we can, we want to be present. I was writing down, surfing the net, looking for different comments of people that we know who are talking about their dads and what they meant to them. And you know, somebody like RG3 was talking about it. And he came into the NFL in 2012. I think he won the Heisman Trophy and had a phenomenal first season with the Washington Redskins. And then he got hurt and he's struggled. He's still in the league. He's with the Ravens, but he's been a lot of overcoming, and they're talking about how do you keep overcoming? He said, my dad, presence of my dad. My dad, if you knew, my dad's dad was 43 years old when he died of a brain aneurysm. He was a construction worker down in New Orleans. So the family ended up in the projects. He said, they were so poor. My dad was a great athlete, and he couldn't play sports because they had no money. They didn't have money for basketball shoes, let alone athletic fees or anything like that. So my dad, he said, signed up for the Army to improve his family's circumstances, and he met a female soldier at Fort Carson in Colorado, and they got married, and he, RG3, was born in Okinawa. And when he came back, he said, my dad's whole life was being present and sacrificing so that we kids had opportunities that he never had. And that is a theme for successful fathering, is not only being present, but being willing to sacrifice for the tribe so that the folks that are in our family, that's why a good dad is such a huge asset, because what we bring, that generosity and that ability to bring resources that allow everybody else to have access to things they wouldn't have if we weren't present. It's something that we contribute to a family. Condoleezza Rice was talking about her dad. She was the Secretary of State. She's the president of Stanford now. She was really getting peppered on this news program about why she supports gun ownership. And she said, that goes all the way back to my dad. She said, I was growing up in Alabama, and the Klan was very active, and they were threatening this little town that we were in. And the police sure weren't going to go help us. And my dad had an old shotgun, and the other men in town, they had a few guns and weapons, and they would stay up all night and keep us safe. That's another theme for good dads. It's just that sense of security and protection that comes with your dad. That somehow you just feel like I'm going to be okay because of the presence of this person that cares about me so much. Back to the text. Verse 17. The presence of God, and then God from the throne says, this Jesus is my son. Acknowledgement. I can remember my dad taking me into his office building at Northern States Power in downtown St. Paul, and I had snowmobile boots on, and he was taking me around, and he was introducing me to his boss and said, this is my son, Chris. There's a lot that's happening in that. This ownership of this half-baked young man with great big clobby snowmobile boots on and a bad haircut, which he had given me, so I mean, what's up? But putting your arm around your daughter or your son and saying, this is my kid, and I'm proud of this kid. You don't forget that, that sense of ownership, that I belong to somebody that cares about me and is proud of me. I think Jesus drew great strength from the ownership of the Father of the Son. This Jesus is mine, and I'm so proud of him. When that doesn't happen in a person's life, that leaves a hole that a person can spend the rest of their life trying to fill. When they don't have that kind of ownership, somebody that's saying, I'm proud of you. You're a big deal to me. If you're looking for something to do on Father's Day, there's a great Father's Day movie, Gladiator. Right? But there's a lot of themes that are going on in that movie, Gladiator. The Caesar had sort of adopted a general who was fighting a lot of battles for him and maintaining his power and neglecting his biological son. This is the David and Absalom deal. And when you have a kid like that that's yearning for your attention, nothing but trouble can come out of that. And there's a very poignant moment in the movie where the son confronts the father and says, I have searched the faces of the gods for ways to please you, to make you proud of me. Just one kind word, one full hug where you pressed me to your chest, held me tight, would have been like the sun in my heart for 1,000 years. What is it in me that you hate so much? All I've ever wanted was to live up to you, Father. And the father says, your faults as a son are my failures as a father. And that's just like a, ugh, as a father. You know what that feels like, right? I mean, we love to share in the successes of our kids, thinking we played some role in that. But in the dark recesses of our mind, there's also this. When our kid is struggling, they're making poor choices, you're thinking, what could I have done different? What did I miss? And part of a pause in church like this is to maybe do some things differently so that we minimize those failures and we multiply those successes. But just thinking about that, back to the text. This Jesus is my son, and I love him. Not only am I present, not only am I acknowledging him, I want you to know how I feel about you. And it's nothing but love. I think that kind of love covers over a multitude of sins. I mean, there's a lot of practical things that go into being a good dad. But sometimes something happens in our life and we're not good at expressing love, and that is something to deal with. If there's something that's happened in our lives that makes it difficult for us to say, I love you, you're a big deal to me, then it's time to get a counselor. Then it's time to jump into a 12-step program. It's time, because you don't want to pass that on. That's a mess. Bruce Springsteen talks about that with his dad. He said, my dad, something happened in his life, he was incapable. He never once said, I love you. The closest my dad, he said, ever came to saying, I love you, and probably the most poignant part of the autobiography, he's talking about his first child being born, and his dad got in the car and drove 400 miles, unannounced, showed up at his house, kind of the early, early morning, knocked on the door. I said, Dad, he said, you have been very, very good to me and to your mother. And I was not good to you. And he got back in the car and he drove home. I mean, there's a brokenness there, right? Sometimes there's a brokenness in us that keeps us from doing this essential thing. This is my kid. and I love this kid. Failures and successes, good times, bad times. I own this kid, and I love this kid. It's very important for the proper development of a human being. Some of us walk around with father wounds. That's part of the reason we come to church. It's part of the reason we go see a good counselor. We want to be grateful for what we did have, but we also want to be honest about what we didn't have so that we can be better going down the road. Not just live in reaction, but be getting better in the roles that we're playing right now. I was up in Cottage Grove yesterday. One of my daughters is on the fire department up there, and so she invited us up. She was in one of the fire trucks, and so I went up there for the candy. Just kidding. I went up there, and we were sitting there and just enjoying the day, and then after it was over, she took us to the fairgrounds, Strawberry Fest or whatever it is that they have up there. And they had, in the distance, they had one of those fun houses. Remember the fun house, State Fair fun house? Nothing fun about that thing at all. And I remember in one of my really bad decisions as a father was to take these little girls into the fun house. This will be really fun, girls. You get in there and you're so disoriented. You know, you got the big wheel drum going around, the staircase shimmying back and forth, and then you get into the maze, and you're slamming your face up against the glass, and then you get to those mirrors that distort how you look. You look like a big piece of pulled taffy or something. And I'm looking at that, having a flashback, really kind of a PTSD moment, and I think back and I think, that's what parenting is like, isn't it? You've got these kids and you're completely disoriented yourself, but you're in charge of leading them through this thing, and you can't think straight and you can't see straight, but you're there to help them do it. That's where our own relationship with God is so important, so that we're not just living in reaction to the past, but we have a good model and we have other people in our life, even if you don't announce to them, identifying good dads or good dad books and trying to read and trying to learn and trying to grow. I mean, you all remember that really great class in high school that we had on being a good dad, right? Neither do I. It didn't exist. We have to figure this out, and probably the most important place that we learn how to be a good dad is from good dads, men that do a good job at this. And you just kind of take notes, say, well, how does this person handle this? The best cup of coffee you'll ever buy is the one that you sit down with that person and say, I got a deal, and I just don't know how to deal with it. Get some advice, get some help from somebody you can trust. My dad died about a year and a half ago, and my dad was not a sentimental person at all. My sister was here at the 8 o'clock service, and we were talking about it. He just didn't do, but he'd been told he had cancer. He told he's going to die, and he's thinking things through. And on the Monday after his last Father's Day, he sent out an email to me and to my two sisters and my brother. And somehow, we just tripped across what I think for him was like the perfect weekend. He just had a great weekend. And he just decided he's going to throw caution to the wind, and he was going to let us know that. So he said, he wrote, the sermon at the Methodist Church teased me to come back next Sunday to find out what success really is. Hey, I already know he's preaching the sermon. Sunday dinner at Sheila's, my sister Sheila and Adam's farm, ignited a flood of gratitude for the fruitful life God has given my oldest daughter and how her warm, generous spirit continues to bring us together. An evening stop for strawberry shortcake. My dad would crawl across broken glass for shortcake. brought my thoughts back to the steamy day in July a half a century ago when your mom and Dr. Veers wheeled out the big little guy out of the hospital room. My heart jumped for joy just to receive that special gift of my next son, Boyd, a gift that keeps on giving. A joyous Monday noon fish fry with my beautiful daughter, Jenny, topped off a perfect Father's Day weekend. Of course, my hopes and prayers are that the joyful family I've been blessed with will forever love and live in harmony that I felt during this weekend. Thanks also to the mother who helped, in quotes, like we all know, Mom made all this happen. Make it happen. Blessings to you and yours forever. What do you think that means to me? Have you given something like this to your kid? I mean, as everybody's kind of gathering around saying, hey, Dad, I love you, maybe it'd be a good idea to just sit down and write a card and give him something back. Just say, you know what? Without you, I wouldn't be a dad. The best job in the world. Amen.
There's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't